better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
There is a new Democratic candidate for president that has filed for a presidential primary. We have some breaking news here. NBC News has confirmed that Michael Bloomberg is going to file in the Alabama 2020 presidential primary as a candidate.
His advisor now says that he is, quote, increasingly concerned that the current field of candidates isn't well positioned, frankly, to beat President Trump. So he feels like perhaps maybe he's the guy.
I would be 79 years old when I took office. To start a four-year job, maybe an eight-year job at age 79 may not be the smartest thing to do.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
There is nothing that is going to get under Trump's skin more than this. Michael Bloomberg is smarter than Trump. He's 25 times wealthier than Trump. He's more respected than Trump.
Little Michael will fail. He will not do very well. And if he did, I'd be happy. There is nobody I'd rather run against than little Michael. That I can tell you.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Hey guys, it's me, Megyn Kelly, and I'm here on my set where we just shot a really interesting interview. Have you been following this story about the Amy Robach hot mic moment at ABC? The employee who sort of marked that clip in the system and then moved on to CBS got fired this week, and we got the full story, and I think you're going to be fascinated by it.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Donald Trump is going to be our president.
It is as if the nation is enduring some kind of curse.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country.
I cannot believe this is happening.
Happy anniversary, Mr. President. Happy anniversary to you.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. We're broadcasting today live from the studios of WRKO, our Boston affiliate, the AM talk station in Boston. And it is the it's in Medford and at the iHeart cluster. And it is the 2019 RKO DAV Radiothon here. It's Veterans Day on Monday, as you know. Sunday is the birthday of the U.S. Marine Corps. It seemed like a great day to be here and to raise money for the disabled American veterans. The Disabled American Veterans is committed to a single purpose, empowering veterans to lead high-quality lives. To make your donation, call 781-475-1540. That's 781-475-1540. And good to be here. We have a special interview at the bottom of the hour that you'll soon be hearing about. I kind of briefly teased it earlier in the show, I believe. Right now, though, we're talking about how much we were looking forward to hearing the interview by Megyn Kelly with the whistleblower. Her name is Ashley Bianco, and Megyn is trying to resurrect her career. I guess this is on Instagram. She recorded it this morning. And you know what? It's kind of a disappointment, actually. But we have some cuts from it. This is Megyn Kelly with this woman, Ashley Bianco. You know, again, so much for due process here. You know, they fired this woman. She worked at ABC when Amy Robach made these comments about how the suits at ABC had killed her expose on Jeffrey Epstein because they wanted to protect Bill Clinton and the British royal family, Prince Andrew. It was leaked. And by the time it was leaked, she had changed jobs. She'd gone from ABC to CBS. And ABC told CBS what had happened. It's kind of like, you know, these two networks in New York, they're kind of like crime families in New York. You know, the Lucchese family finds out and tells the Gambino crime family. And so the Gambino crime family, after the person is transferred from the Lucchese family to Gambino, they whack them. It took about 2 days to whack this woman. She's 25 years old, went to Emory University in Atlanta. Apparently, she's pretty talented. But anyway, we do have some sound cuts, and again, they're a little bit of an anticlimactic, but still, you should probably hear them.
So this was the first question from Megyn Kelly to Ashley Bianco, And after I listened to this, I just knew this was not news.
Did you leak the tape?
I did not.
Not to anyone?
No,
at
never.
At any time?
No.
Did you make a clip of the moment?
I did, but I saved it in the internal system.
Oh, as if you can't ever get something out of an internal system, right? That's kind of a weak denial, isn't it, Taylor?
I guess, but I mean, still, once you say, no, I didn't clip it. I mean, you've already been fired. What do you have to save after this? I mean, unless you're trying to go for a lawsuit against CBS.
Right. What I mean, did she say anything about that? Do we have any cuts along those lines?
I didn't listen that far. This is her excuse as to why she clipped it originally and saved it in that internal system.
Did you think it was newsworthy what she was saying?
Everyone in the office was freaked out by what she was saying, and everyone was watching it.
So the purpose for clipping it was what? To watch it back later?
Yeah, watch it back later. You know, I did it just for office gossip, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was there any intention to embarrass her?
No, not at all.
Or ABC?
No, I would never. You know, the 3 years I've spent at ABC, I've loved my time there. You know, I'm a good employee. I've worked 7 days a week. You know, I loved my job.
I kind of feel sorry for her. I mean, were they really shocked, though, at ABC? I mean, come on. I mean, look at who works at ABC. Or has worked there, you know? I mean, Steffi Stephanopoulos, Martha Raddatz, Brian Ross. I mean, the people who put the fake video of the Knob Creek gun range and claimed it was a Turkish attack on Syrian Kurds. I mean, are you really shocked that they're not going to be on the level? Come on. I feel bad for her, but, you know, I mean, when she says it's office gossip, I get that. That's totally understandable. But to say they were shocked, come on, give me a break. Got anything else there, Taylor?
Yeah, there's one more clip I pulled. This is, she also says why she clipped the video in this one.
What did you do? You clipped the moment? You sort of marked the moment in the system?
Yeah, I just clipped it off. I essentially marked it in the system. It never left the system. We do it all the time.
Did you tell the manager that you had clipped it?
I did not.
No, nobody, I mean, that's kind of a silly question. I guess you have to ask it, but, you know, who cares? You don't tell the manager everything you do when it comes to that kind of thing. So can the headline be in the papers tomorrow or online this afternoon? CBS fires whistleblower. I mean, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? You know, everybody, they're going to go crazy because Donald Trump was saying that the whistleblower, quote unquote, you know, could be tried for treason or some such thing as that. And that's a terrible thing to say. But I mean, what did CBS do? They did, didn't they do the same thing, basically? Let's play the cut from cut number 7 from Donald Trump this afternoon.
And I'll tell you, the whistleblower, I call him the fake whistleblower. He gave a fake report of my phone call. And when I did it, all of a sudden, when I released that call, all of a sudden, everybody disappeared. The whistleblower disappeared. Whatever happened to the second whistleblower? Why isn't the first whistleblower going to testify anymore? You know why? Because everything he wrote in that report almost was a lie. Because he made a phony phone call. My phone call was perfect. He made it sound bad. That's why I had to release. So the whistleblower is a disgrace to our country. A disgrace. And the whistleblower, because of that, should be revealed. And his lawyer, who said the worst thing possible 2 years ago, he should be sued, and maybe for treason, but he should be sued.
I don't know about that, but that whistleblower is a real piece of work. I mean, to say, you know, the coup begins now, and now he says the coup is just a totally legal event, but it's not. You look it up in the dictionary, a coup is an illegal overthrow of a government. So as 808 says, why would you fire an employee that exposed corruption at a rival network? Because, like I said, it's not like they're news gathering organizations. It's like they're crime families, and they all sit on the commission together, you know, just like the five families in New York. And so if somebody is in another family and he gets out of line, you go to the other family and you tell them, there's somebody you got to take care of. Boom, boom, two in the hat. And that's what Ashley Bianco got. She got two in the hat. They did, and you know, usually a lot of times they at least check it out to see if somebody is actually guilty before they whack them, right? According to Ashley, they didn't even check it out. They just got rid of her. Where was Grace's news, by the way? Someone says
I'm here. I'm just, you're on such a roll. I'm letting you go, Hal.
Okay, well, do you have any news for us, or is everything just under Police Blotter Facts Friday?
No, I've got plenty of news, but I think we should probably do it on the other side, if you don't mind. I got plenty of news. We got to talk about Mike Bloomberg, and a lot of news about Jeff Sessions, and an interesting story about your favorite, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We'll do that all on the other side.
I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
This poll question is sponsored by Wreaths Across America. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 14th. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a handmade balsam fir wreath, a symbol of America's respect. Sponsor a veteran's wreath now. Visit www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Michael Bloomberg be the Democrat nominee?
I do not think so, no.
21% think that he will.
Ooh, that's more than I expected. He gave Al Sharpton the heads up yesterday that he was thinking about going in for the long haul, as Reverend Al called it. So I don't know what that tells you, that he's, you know, talking to Al Sharpton, but that could be a good thing.
Did they talk about Al Sharpton's study of Germany in the 20th century, the Weimar Republic and the Third Republic, when Joseph Goebbels was the propaganda minister?
You know, Al Sharpton, he's an expert on so many things. The Cardassians, as he calls them, Gurgles. And now, Michael Bloomberg. And also, in other news, Kanye West urges Black Americans not to vote Democrat. He was at an event by the Wall Street Journal magazine and Fast Company. I think it was Wednesday.
He's not going to win the Profiles in Courage Award next year.
He said to Black Americans, own your power. Your power is not to just vote Democrat for the rest of our lives. That's not the power. So I'm sure there will be some sort of protest against his sneaker brand soon. I don't think he cares. He's almost a billionaire.
Yes.
The power
yes.
of being a billionaire is beyond a lot of other powers. AOC, so this is the story I'm most interested in today. AOC she's angered some people with this one. This is the title of the headline of the New York Post article. AOC's ungrateful, ignorant hipster diss. And I'm going to explain. At a recent town hall in the Bronx, she bemoaned historically Puerto Rican Williamsburg's transformation into, quote, Disneyland for hipsters. Now, this comes after her.
There goes the neighborhood.
Exactly. This comes after her complaint. And I'm going to have to explain this a little bit. You know how the movie The Joker came out?
Yes.
Apparently in the movie, and I didn't see it, he poses in this stairwell in the Bronx, and a lot of hipsters or Instagram millennials have been going to the staircase and taking their own photos.
Yeah,
there
he dances down the staircase and everything. It's a big thing,
right? Kind of like your favorite scene from the original
the original Batman, the Joker at the museum.
I'm sure it's a little, you know, tip of the
with
hat
Kim
to that
Basinger.
To that famous
yeah.
scene.
That's one of the all-time best scenes of the 20th century, I think.
So I guess last month she complained about tourists swarming to Joker stairs in the Southwest Bronx and said, keep your Instagram posts outside of the boogie down, like this is for us. So this is a great line from the New York Post. They said, this is for us. Imagine if the white residents of Yorktown Heights had taken that attitude toward AOC's parents when they came.
And she she was raised in the suburbs, by the way. So, you know, she could be, she's basically a Brooklyn hipster herself.
Right. But I just thought that is so true. It's, you say it all the time, and a lot of people don't think it's the same thing. But can you imagine if anyone said that about, you know, a minority community coming into the neighborhood? This is for us.
Right.
Like, this is for us. Don't dance on the stairs. I'm sorry, but it's a staircase. You know what I mean? You have the world's ending in 11 years. I think we have bigger fish to fry. In other news, Jeff Sessions.
Let me just mention a couple of people are sending in veterans. They want.
Oh, yes,
tributes.
Please do.
Veterans Day is for those of us who survived. For those of us who survived our service to our republic in honor of the Constitution. This is from F.C. Howland Jr., Master Sergeant, U.S. Army, retired from a family. Lists all of the people in his family: his father and his son and his grandson. Here's another one. Would you consider saying rest in peace, Jerry Campbell? Jerry Campbell was a U.S. Marine Corps officer from West Roxbury. He passed on October 25th. Jerry was commissioned as part of the officers class in November 67, known as the tip of the spear. This class lost 10% of its officers in the Tet Offensive of 1968, just a few months after they graduated from officers candidate school. Semper Fi from one of Jerry's classmates. Thanks. That's 914 area code.
And I heard you when you were with Lou Pasquale earlier mention Howie Winter. And it was funny because when Howie Winter was telling us, he was too young. And he asked his mom to, you know, sign the document or, you know, forge it and say, I'm old enough. I'm 16. And I was talking to someone in the studio and they said, why would anyone do that? And I said, that's what people did back then. People wanted. Yeah. And there are so many unique individuals today who want to do it. Right. And it's so amazing. But it's a different generation.
Well, there were a lot. I mean, Howie's the youngest one I've ever met, 14. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Joe Moakley, he went in at 15 to the U.S. Merchant Marines. He lived in South Boston. I mean, you know, you go back and you read the day after Pearl Harbor, there were near riots at the recruiting stations in every city in the country, and because people were trying to get in little colleges, every male student in the college enlisted on December 8th, 1941. It was
how times have changed.
It's hard to imagine now.
And you know what's funny though? It is hard to imagine now, but when you meet people who are young and who have that in them, that passion, and just it, you have to be so grateful that there are still wonderful men and women who want to do it. And thank God, because every generation, we heard this on the way in, every generation has to fight to keep their freedom. It's not free. Someone has to pay for it.
Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. That's the Strategic Air Command motto.
And it's well said. Guys, I want to remind everyone to check out all of our podcasts, Dirty Rats podcast, Conversations with Grace. I had a conversation with Mayor Marty Walsh. He actually mentioned Joe Moakley in it and he gives a little backstory. So that's pretty cool. And of course, all of the Howie Carr Show podcasts you can listen to all the time. So make sure you check those out. And when we get back, Howie, I don't know if you want to tease the next interview or are we surprising people?
Joining us after the break is going to be Vice President Mike Pence. Always a pleasure to talk with a fellow radio talk show host.
And a patriotic American.
That's right. He has a son in the service.
Indeed.
In the Marines, I believe. All right. We'll be right back with Vice President Pence. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
These are phony people, but that's okay. You know, when you think of it, I'm president and they're not.
Joining us now on the line is the Vice President of the United States, Mr. Pence. And Mr. Vice President, let me just tell you, we've been
it's the
third anniversary, as you know, of the election of 2016, and we're playing cuts like that all through the show today, just kind of doing it because it was a very amusing, happy evening for all of us. So let me start off by asking you, where were you that night, and what are your memories of that night 3 years ago today?
Oh wow, it was an incredible
incredible night. And we had all convened in Washington, D.C. As you know, the president and I, we left it all on the field. I think the president, the day before Election Day, had done 7 rallies all the way through to about 2 in the morning on Election Day morning. And I'd done 5 different rallies. We ended up in Michigan together. And I'll never forget, I was literally at the podium when the clock ticked past midnight, and it was Election Day, November 8th, 2016. And I looked at the crowd and I said, "Welcome to November 8th. This is the day that we'll elect Donald Trump to be the 45th president of the United States." And this was, there were 20,000-30,000 people gathered in Michigan, Howie. I'll never forget. So the president arrived about a half hour later. He spoke for more than an hour, into the wee hours of the night. And he came off the stage. I'll never forget. The crowd was just incredibly enthusiastic, excited about the coming election day. And he walked off the stage. He slapped me on the shoulder and looked at me and said, "I don't know about you, Mike, but this doesn't look like second place." You know what? It wasn't.
you were with him in Manchester earlier, weren't you, that night?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because we were up there too. That was another packed venue that night, and everybody was cheering.
But we rallied in New York City, and I have to tell you, I just the opportunity to have been standing with him, and your listeners can get online and find the picture. But we had this kind of big room at the campaign with lots of desks and there were TV screens. And we ended up convening there as the returns were starting to come in. And the president was standing on my left. I'm standing on his right. My family was with me. His family was with me. The whole room was filled with campaign volunteers as we watched the returns roll in. And I'll just never forget the experience of, when one state after another rolled in, Pennsylvania rolled in and Michigan rolled in and Ohio rolled in. Every time he'd kind of lean over, and give me, and just kind of, bang me on the shoulder and say, "Man, look at that." And we spent several hours watching it roll in, and we were there together when the check mark for the call in the election went up on all the networks. And it was just, really, it was just an incredible personal experience, but I can't tell you what it meant to me as an American to be standing with someone who I just knew, and in the last 3 years people have seen, has delivered on all the promises that he's made, rebuild our military, revived our economy, 150 conservatives to our courts, 2 Supreme Court justices, America standing tall in the world again. It's great again, and I just knew that was going to happen, and the excitement of being a part of that 3 years ago, I'll never forget.
I think 3 years ago tonight, at least 63 million Americans breathed a collective sigh of relief, and that it's just so great. And I was talking to some Republicans yesterday. They said that the president sometimes says, "You know what? I should have kept going after that rally in Grand Rapids. I should have gone to Minnesota because we might have taken Minnesota if I'd have had a 2:30 a.m. Central Time rally in Minnesota." You ever hear him say that?
Well, he's convinced if we did one more rally in Minnesota, we would have won. He's probably right. I mean, it ended up being a very, very close race in Minnesota. And frankly, with everything that is happening in Minnesota today, a booming economy, their energy economy, iron, we've already been up there again and again, and we really think we're going to put Minnesota in the win column in November of 2020 as well.
Well, Ilhan Omar has endorsed Senator Bernie Sanders, as you know, because he's the best candidate, in her opinion, to fight what she calls Western imperialism. Who knew that was going to be a big issue? Wow. Who could best battle Western imperialism in 2020?
Isn't it? It's so refreshing, though, to have a president that's not out there apologizing for America on the world stage. I mean, the president's getting ready to go to the NATO conference. I know the Secretary of State's overseas right now, and I have to tell you, I mean, as we sit here today, Howie, our NATO allies have contributed $100 billion more to our common defense because 3 years ago, President Trump was elected, and his first meeting at NATO, he said, look, this is an alliance. We're all committed to our common defense. Everybody's got to start to step up and keep their promises. And just being out there and defending America's interests, putting America first, but calling on our allies to do their part, it's just made an incredible difference for American security.
I guess you're heading down to Atlanta. You're in Atlanta today.
I am.
You're going to start an outreach program for Black voters. I heard, you know, driving in today, the news, the alt-left news was promoting this. Well, Trump only got 8% of the Black vote in 2016. How much better you think you guys are going to do, the Republicans are going to do in 2020 than you did in 2016?
Well, we're both going to be in Atlanta today. The president's unveiling Black Voices for Trump, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. We're going to be down there to really celebrate what has been an incredible record of success by this president and this administration for every American, but especially so for African Americans. If you think about it, I mean, remember back in the campaign, the president essentially said, you know, what the heck do you have to lose? I mean, he essentially reached out to African Americans, too many of which, you know, live in cities that have to endure failed liberal Democrat policies, you know, failing schools, unsafe streets, no jobs. And the president said, you know, give me a shot. And a lot of African Americans did. And the result has been incredible. I mean, we have the lowest unemployment rate ever recorded for African Americans in the history of this country. African-American entrepreneurship is rising all across America. We have more than 8,000 opportunity zones, thanks to the president's leadership and Senator Tim Scott's legislation, that is now attracting, this isn't an overstatement, attracting billions of dollars into our inner cities to create jobs and opportunities for inner city communities and All of that is our commitment to law and order, our commitment to a strong and secure America, to secure borders, and the backstop of an aspiration of many in the African American community to see criminal justice reform passed. This president accomplished it with the First Step Act, and made our system of justice more just, and all of that, it's all a story that we're going to tell today, talk about the progress in the economy, the progress in security, reforms, as well as the president's strong stand for the values that are so emblematic of faith and family and life in the African-American community. I can't wait to get to the podium today. I can't wait to get around the country.
One last question for you, Mr. Vice President. Michael Bloomberg, yeah, the former mayor of New York, multi-billionaire, yeah, looks like he's getting into the Democrat fight. Your sure. reaction quickly.
I think the water's warm. Come on in. You know, I mean, one more liberal running for president doesn't give me any heartburn. I mean, I just think, look, this president has made an incredible connection to millions of Americans. We saw on election day in Kentucky and Mississippi, Republicans won 13 of 14 statewide races because this president has been delivering for the American people every single day. And Democrats, whether it's people that are thinking of running or those that are running, they're all about taking us back in the direction of a weaker, less secure America, open borders, higher taxes, more regulation, Green New Deal, Medicare for all, bust the bank, liberal courts. And I just think whoever they put up, I just know the American people are going to rally around a president who's been delivering every single day. He's made America great again. And I know 1 year from this November, they're going to vote for 4 more years of President Donald Trump to keep America great.
It was a great night 3 years ago today, and I hope it'll be another great night on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November 2020. Vice President Mike Pence, thanks so much for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to be on the Howie Carr Show, and really appreciate your clarion voice for so many years on the airways of Boston, and and all across this nation, Howie. You make a real difference.
Thank you. It's good to see a successful talk show host in the White House, too.
Thanks, Howie.
Thanks. Mike Pence used to be a radio talk show host in Indiana, you know. There are so many reasons to be a grateful nation, and in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedom. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 14th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and teach younger generations the value of freedom. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreaths have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 1,700 other participating locations across the country and overseas. Sponsor a veterans' wreath today and show your appreciation. Visit www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ian in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zuko from Hampton, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Taylor, people are complaining that we didn't have Indiana's Talking, which we usually play when Vice President Pence is on. Here it is.
Indiana's Talking, the Mike Pence Show.
We should have played that while he was around with us. That's too bad. But anyway, it's better late than never. His son is is in the military. I believe he's in the Marines. And he's very much into veterans issues, and we're here in Medford at the studios of WRKO, our Boston affiliate, and this is the 2019 WRKO DAV Radiothon. Disabled American Veterans is committed to a single purpose: empowering veterans to lead high quality lives. It's a great organization, and to make your donation, call 781-475-1540, and there are phone banks of volunteers standing by to take your donation, 781-475-1540. And joining us now is one of the drivers, one of the volunteers for DAV Transportation Network, and his name is Bernie Collins. He used to be a UPS driver. And back in 1987, a government program that provided travel reimbursement for ill and injured veterans was discontinued. And recognizing that many veterans would be left without care, DAV, Disabled American Veterans, and its auxiliary took on a new challenge and created the DAV Transportation Network Program. And for over 30 years now, the DAV Transportation Network volunteers have provided free rides for our nation's heroes who are receiving medical care at VA facilities nationwide. And Bernie Collins is a recent volunteer who's been driving for the program for just over a year. He's not a veteran, unlike most of the drivers, but he is a person who's trying to do the right thing, and he's got some time on his hands now that he's retired. And so, Bernie, thanks for your service to the veterans of America. And What's it like driving veterans around? Getting close to the mic there.
Yeah. Well, Howie, thanks for having me in here today, and it's a pleasure to be here, especially to speak on behalf of the DAV and to talk a little bit about the drivers that I work with. We're all a bunch of volunteers, men and women, and so I'm kind of part of the Boston Health Group, and so we really have the hospitals from West Roxbury, Jamaica Plain, and Brockton. Mm-hmm. And our job as volunteers is to take care of the veterans who can't otherwise get to some of the medical appointments or to the hospitals. And, I started doing this. I didn't serve. I wasn't called. I missed a draft, the Vietnam War draft. But I know a lot of friends and family that did serve. And this was my way when I retired. I decided I'd give back. And fortunately, I live close to the two hospitals. So for me, whenever I have the time that I can, I put myself on the list and I work with many others. And we do everything we can to take care of any veteran that needs a ride to the hospital. And there's a lot more than you would think.
I bet you've met some pretty memorable people in the year you've been driving, haven't you, Bernie?
It's been wonderful. I get more out of it, I'm sure, than, as the old saying goes, if you give back. But for me, it's been great. I have a couple veterans that I've come to know. My wife gives me a hard time. I drop some of them off some bread. This one veteran I know loves sourdough bread, and he never can get out and get it. He's a World War II veteran. And,
like Lou Pasquale that we were just talking to.
I did
last
hear
hour.
Lou on the radio earlier. It did remind me of this gentleman. And when I brought him over the first loaf of sourdough bread, the smile on his face, and it was not only that made him happy, I walked away very happy. Just thinking what those people have done. And for me to bring over a loaf of bread, that's a pretty easy lift.
Yeah, the greatest generation. It's not an inappropriate description of those guys.
No, they're great. And, you know, all the way through, some of the recent people that have gotten out. You give some rise to those people that you would think otherwise, how would they get to these medical appointments? And, you know,
and this is
them.
All because of disabled American veterans. So it's tell us about the organization and why people should make a donation.
Well, certainly they should make a donation. It's a great organization. For my part, I play the role in the transportation network. We're trying to make that. It's very good. It could be better. We need more help, aid, and whatever aid they can give to the DAV in the name of you've heard all day for others. It's only going to make it better for those veterans who really need the help. You know, sometimes they think they'd get the aid and stuff from the government or from some other chapter, but they need this assistance. The DAV is all volunteers, and the donations that you give helps make those people have a better ride.
Yeah, and the Howie Carr Show is going to be giving $1,000 today to the disabled American veterans. If you want to make a donation, 781-475-1540. Again, that number, volunteers standing by to take your call right now, 781-475-1540. I was telling you about Paul, the UPS driver, who he just texted in here. UPS drivers are a close-knit community like the military. Please thank the gentleman from a fellow UPS driver. That's Paul, the UPS guy.
Well, so tell Paul, the UPS guy, I started in Watertown, and UPS is a great company. It's all on the backbone of the drivers, so.
That's right. I think so. Yeah, and you guys, through like the Postal Service, supposedly, you know, through rain and sleet and snow, you guys are out there every day making deliveries.
Well, us characters in brown have a different aspect. We think we're the best at that, and helping out with the driving to help out the veterans is really a great cause. And I, you know, Howie, if I can just take a minute, anybody who's out there who's able to drive and can drive and can pass the DOT type physicals. And can provide service to us, you know, please sign up at your local DAV, and they'll walk you through the steps. And if we can get you into driving, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, so you don't just have to give money. It's nice to give money, but you can also give your service as well, like Bernie Collins is here. And so, again, if you want to make a donation, though, right now to the DAV Radiothon here on WRKO, call 781-475-1540, 781-475-1540. Bernie Collins, thanks a lot for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Give to the DAV. Thank you.
I'm Howie Carr.